is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Breakouts. Yesterday, we talked sleepers. Today, breakouts. Breakouts are even better than sleepers. So we're hopefully going to be talking about some great players. We're going to help you win your fantasy leagues today. Dave's not here, but Jamie's here, and Heath is here. They're going to help you win your fantasy leagues this season. Sorry I messed up your names. Good morning, guys.
No problem, Alan. It's nice to be here with you.
Chris and Ben. How are you doing today?
Yeah, Chris and Ben, we're all doing great. I think you'll probably hear Ben on tomorrow's podcast. We'll do busts, and we'll recap the preseason games. We are going to talk about the podcast league and how to get in. So I'm actually very excited for today's show. Don't mess it up. The podcast league, I emailed all three of Dave, Jamie, and Heath, and I probably should have emailed Ben too. He's part of the team. A date. I said, hey, can you guys make the draft on this night? They didn't respond, so I'm just going to make that a yes. It's going to be Wednesday. What's that?
What night?
Wednesday, August 28th.
Can't do it.
Well, I only have one draft that night. I should be good. I can do two at once.
What's your problem, Jamie?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, okay, cool. Wednesday, August 28th. If you can't make it, don't submit.
If not, I'll give away the team.
No, you won't. I will tell you what you need to do to get in. All right. That's coming up later. Who are your favorite breakouts? Let's get one. And then we'll have a whole bunch of breakouts in the second half of the show, including good ones from our listeners. Heath, who's your favorite breakout this year? Is it someone that you put on both your sleeper and your breakout lists?
I love all my breakouts equally, but for favorite, I'll go with the guy that I think could be a top five pick in the following year, and it's Dalvin Cook. You got a Minnesota team that's going to run the ball much more than they did last year, if the final three games are any indication. Cook, according to Pete Prisco, could challenge for the league leaders in rushing yards. I expect him to get more touchdowns with Latavius Murray gone. He's going to be heavily involved in the passing game. Dalvin Cook could be a top five running back this year and a top five pick next year.
Okay. So Heath emailed me some sleepers yesterday and some breakouts today, or 2 days ago and the day before, whatever. And Lamar Jackson was on both his lists, so I thought he might go with him. But he's going with Dalvin Cook, who's going 18th overall. Heath, are you concerned, though, that their rookie center, Garrett Bradbury, first-round pick, according to Kirk Cousins, has a pretty sweaty butt, and they are somewhat worried about fumbling the snaps? I'm not sure if you saw that story last week.
I did not see the story about the sweaty butt, but from what I understand, there's a part of Kirk Cousins' hand that's supposed to be touching the center's butt should not be touching the football. So I don't think it should cause any fumbling issues.
Yeah, he expressed some concern about all of Garrett Bradbury's sweat, and that's a light little note for you here on Fantasy Football Today. Jamie, who is your favorite breakout?
My favorite breakout, Kerryon Johnson. I am so excited about his opportunity this year to be a three-down back. I just hope he stays. Both those guys. I hope Dalvin Cook and Kerryon Johnson stay healthy, because I agree with Heath. I think we could be talking about, you know, two guys that are challenging to be top five running backs next season if they can play 16 games and do what they're capable of doing. You know, Kerryon was playing really well last year before he suffered the knee injury, really starting to pick up steam. He's got an injury track record. It's hard to overlook that, but again, I think, you know, the Lions making the move to get rid of Theo Riddick is to involve this guy more in the passing game. I hope he doesn't lose anything to CJ Anderson, at least too much on the ground game, you know, touchdown opportunities, et cetera. But I think he can be one of the more special running backs in the NFL. I thought that last year, and I hope that this is the season that he puts it all together.
Yeah, so if you're sitting there back end of round two, maybe starting toward the middle of round two in a 12-team league, because Cook is going 18th overall, depending on where you look and what ADP. And Kerryon Johnson, 21st overall. Who do you guys prefer, Kerryon or Cook?
I like Kerryon a little better.
Yeah, I think it may just come down to format for me. I believe I have Dalvin one spot higher in non-PPR and Kerryon one spot higher in PPR.
Okay. And I just want to throw in Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll go. I just want to throw in another name who sort of fits the mold and is being drafted in the same range but a little bit later than these two, and that's Leonard Fournette. And I think when you look at Fournette and Kerryon Johnson, you are getting what you want. Okay, remember we talked about in the running back preview, what do you want? You want someone who's going to dominate touches to get an elite running back. Dominate touches, hopefully have 50 or more catches, and be on a good offense. Of those three, you know, those obviously are not the only criteria, but they're important. Of those three, you know, how would you rank them in terms of who meets that criteria?
That's the interesting part, is I think now, especially with Theo Riddick gone, we may have, like, if you're looking at those three criteria, we may have three different answers. I think Leonard Fournette is the most likely to fully dominate touches, and we've seen him do that in the past in Jacksonville. They don't really have another talented back on the team currently. I think that Dalvin Cook is probably on the best offense of the three, and Kerryon Johnson now may be the most likely to catch 50 passes.
Okay.
I think all three of these guys have the chance to be just fantastic. I just want to bring up something, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who's just starting to get looking at his league, say his draft this weekend. So he's picking in the back end of a 10-team league. I think he's picking eighth. And so I told him, you know, I'd probably go receiver. It's a three receiver league. It's PPR. And he asked me, you know, who are some running backs I'll be looking at in round 3 and round 4? And he brought up Kerryon Johnson. I said, no, you know, you're probably not going to get that. Now, that may be the case in some leagues that, you know, aren't necessarily looking at him as one of these guys that are in this range, you know, back end of round 2 type of guys yet. So, you know, you may have some scenarios where he slips, but I think it's, you know, one thing that, you know, people, when they start doing their prep now, because a lot of it is when it's happening, you know, our audience is a little bit different, but, you know, we are still picking up people along the way, is like, don't look at what happened a year ago to some of these guys, Cook getting hurt, Fournette, you know, struggling, getting hurt, Kerryon Johnson getting hurt, and the teams that they're on. You know, I know Minnesota is obviously a very good football team, but the Jaguars struggled last year, and obviously Detroit's been bad for several years. They're going to be in very good situations if they stay healthy. It's all about health with these guys. If they play 16 games, they're going to put up tremendous stats.
And if you're someone who finds running backs to be a little bit too risky there, like if you started off your team with one of the big four running backs, and I'm going to ask you guys in a little bit where you're going to take Ezekiel Elliott. But if you're a little gun-shy on running backs in rounds 2 and 3, where you would be taking Cook or Kerryon Johnson or Leonard Fournette, or maybe there's someone else in that mix, you know, I think what you got to notice right now is with the wide receivers, Amari Cooper might miss the rest of the preseason with a foot injury. T.Y. Hilton's got this Andrew Luck issue going on. Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. I'm wondering if just the last few days, the events of the last few days have made these running backs look a little bit better in comparison to the wide receivers there.
I guess it just depends if you want to go running back to start your draft.
Yeah, or running back, wide receiver, running back. But yeah, let's say two in your first three picks.
I know we've seen this a lot of, take one of the top four backs. Especially if you're picking on the swing, you know, if you're picking first, you're going Barkley, receiver. We just tend to see that a lot more than we see Barkley, Fournette, Hilton. You know, we just, I haven't seen that. I don't want to speak for anybody else. But I think it just comes down to, you know, how you want to build your team and you know, do you want to take the best player available? So if you're inclined to take another one of these running backs, and it's probably going to be Kerryon or Fournette. I don't think Dalvin Cook, at least I haven't seen him, you know, slip that far. It's not a bad route to go, but that's where the tight ends come into play too, you know, of Zach Ertz and George Kittle, the back end of round 2, early round 3. You have, you know, still other receivers that people are taking. This is where Adam Thielen is going based on ADP. I think you can make a case for, you know, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Cooks, you know, maybe in PPR, Julian Edelman.
I cannot make a case for Brandon Cooks that early.
I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying, you know, those are the receivers in the mix. You know, if you're talking about...
Right, I'm asking you to compare them to those running backs, though. What do you think now?
I tend to gravitate toward the receivers there, just because, especially if you're talking about a three-receiver league, it's hard to pass up on, you know, what those guys could be able to do. But again, if you want the best player, Fournette or Kerryon Johnson, or in Dalvin Cook's case, if he falls, are probably the best player.
Yeah, and I was just looking at NFFC ADP. They've had 110 drafts since August 1st. And Kerryon is still a third-round pick at 27.8 ADP. Leonard Fournette's one spot ahead of him, 27.6. So if you've got one of the, like, it's not difficult, it doesn't look like, to get one of those guys. If you start with one of the elite running backs, take a wide receiver or tight end in round 2, and you still have Fournette or Kerryon as your number 2 running back.
Well, here's an interesting one, though. Okay, let's say you start with an elite running back, then you take a wide receiver in round 2. Maybe it's Keenan Allen or Mike Evans or something. And then in round 3, you kind of want to take Kerryon Johnson or Leonard Fournette. I think I would probably do that in a 2 wide receiver league. But in a 3 receiver league, that also includes a flex, I don't know what I would do there. I would probably lean wide receiver. I think my strategy would change depending on the format there. Because it dries up pretty quickly in three receiver leagues. By the time you get back to your pick in round four, you know, you're gonna have hopefully Galladay, Godwin, guys like that. Not bad, but I don't know. I think I'd lean toward that second tier two-ish wide receiver.
There's just not one of those receivers that I'd rather have than Kerryon or Fournette. I don't really feel like T.Y. Hilton has top five upside at wide receiver. I don't really feel like Edelman or Diggs or Thielen or Cooper or Cooks have top five upside. Fournette and Cook both do, I think.
The only thing
Johnson and Fournette.
That I agree with you. The ceiling for each guy at their positions is different, but the floor is a little bit different too. And that's the problem is that the receivers are safer, you know? And so we've just seen it, you know, Fournette, as good as he was as a rookie, missed three games. As Dalvin Cook has shown us, he's missed more games than he's played. You know, Kerryon Johnson last year, you know, couldn't stay healthy after starting to, you know, finally get his workload ramped up. So there are clearly flaws with these guys. If there weren't, you know, we'd see a lot more running backs going in the first round.
Okay. And Dave gave me some breakouts too, so I wanted to mention one. He had a guy I never heard of before, Curtis Eisenberg, I think was his name. So do we have a picture of Jamie with Curtis Eisenberg? See if we got that here. Oh, there he is, Jamie with his CBS blanket with Curtis Samuel and Lamar Jackson, arms draped around both of them. If you're not watching, you should be watching our show on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday or with CBS All Access, you can watch the full show. Very adorable, Jamie. You're a company man with that CBS blanket.
It's honestly one of the best things they've ever given me. Do you recognize the couch?
Is that still my couch?
Yeah, I mean, this is an old picture because Curtis Samuel's hair is before we cut my middle son's hair, which was 2 years ago. But yeah, that's the couch that you sold me.
And I'm not going to fight over Curtis Samuel, but we might like Jamie can be like the step dad of Lamar Jackson. He's just over there for a visit.
That's Heat's guy, Lamar Jackson.
I think
Jackson.
With moving luck down, I may have put him higher than you. I may have him ranked higher than you.
Oh, my. All right, today's sponsors, we got three of them. FanDuel.com/FFT. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT, get a $5 bonus on your first deposit, and come compete against us in FanDuel. Sleep Number, haven't talked about them yet, but Sleep Number, this is a mattress company. They have the Sleep Number 360 smart beds. If you're, you know, if you and your wife, husband, partner, whoever can't agree on the firmness of the mattress you want, a Sleep Number 360 smart bed will let you choose your ideal firmness on both sides of the mattress. So that is very cool. And you'll hear about that later. And Stamps.com. If you anything you want to do, shipping stuff, you know, mailing stuff, anything you want to do, you don't want to go to the post office, you can do it from home with Stamps.com. You go there, you click on the microphone, and you type in FFT on Stamps.com. When you click on the microphone, you get a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. Real quick, guys, ADP alert. Looking on Fantasy Football Calculator over the last month, Todd Gurley is a first-round pick in non-PPR and half-PPR leagues. Not quite in PPR yet, but Todd Gurley just inside that top 12. And there you can see, if you're looking at us on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday or on All Access, you can see the graphs of his ADP. It is rising, guys. Todd Gurley.
You know, it's funny because we just got through talking about three running backs that have a hard time staying healthy and that they should be taken in the back end of the second round. Or middle to the back end of the second round, and they have top five upside. There's a guy in Todd Gurley who's been a top five running back, obviously, you know, for the last couple of years, the number one running back, and right now he's healthy. I mean, we haven't had anything. There has been nothing that said, oh, his knee is bothering him. There's been issues. Now, he hasn't played a game yet. There's a huge difference in that.
Has he been tackled yet?
We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to assume he's taking some contact.
I have not seen anything indicating that he was fully participating.
But there's been nothing. He's taking a day off of at least reports. You know, he may have and nobody's reported it. But he's taking a day off of practice because of maintenance or there's swelling in his knee or anything. And when we're talking about right now, you know, Andrew Luck potentially missing time. And, you know, there's varying scales of how we're dropping him in our rankings. Two prominent running backs that are missing due to contract holdouts. Like, can you really say right now, if you're drafting, you feel more confident week one Ezekiel Elliott's going to be there or Todd Gurley's going to be there? And how would you draft those two guys if in fact you know that one is starting to potentially miss games.
Yeah, I feel more confident Gurley is going to be there. I don't feel more confident Gurley has a better chance at 300 touches.
I don't disagree with that. Right. But what I'm saying is, like, when you start to build your roster, because that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about 16 games. We're talking about building your roster. And so the construction of your roster, how you're framing everything right now, it's like Gurley's starting to seem a little bit more attractive.
Yeah. There has not been much movement on NFC in terms of ADP, still 17th. I don't know if that's a lot of mocks that are driving that up, but it could happen. Like, I feel a little better about him than I did, but I think mid-second still better.
Okay. All right, that's Todd Gurley, and we'll keep you updated on his average draft position. We're also going to tell you how to get into the podcast league, and we got some big-time news and notes. Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper, Kenyon Drake, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, yes, that is how you pronounce it, Andrew Luck, Jimmy Garoppolo threw 5 straight passes to the defense yesterday. We're going to talk about all that right after this break on Fantasy Football Today.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
News and notes in just a second. You want to know how to get in the podcast league? Wednesday, August 28th. Here we go. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you cannot make it, please do not submit. If you can make that time, we are looking for something fun, something creative. I'm just going to make it vague and throw it out there. If you want to do a little song, you know, like for our baseball podcast last year, we had this.
John Gray, you can draft him if you want to.
Stuff like that. It was actually pretty funny. We had other songs. I could play them for you some other time. Come up with something. Somebody made a March Madness style bracket of all my terrible takes on movies and music and pop culture. That stuff's great. So send an email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and put Podcast League in the subject line, Podcast League, and then do whatever you got to do. If you don't want to do something creative, not everybody, I'll pick some that are not like that, you know, just like heartfelt stuff, whatever it is. You want to pour your heart out, tell me why you want to be in the league. But we'd like some funny stuff that we can share on the podcast, poems, whatever the heck you want to do. What I don't want, what won't win, is a parody of a song that's not recorded. Just like, hey, here's a parody, here are some lyrics. Those don't really translate well. So we got a lot of those for baseball. Try not to do that for football. If you have actually go out and record something, that's pretty cool. And please send me a YouTube link instead of an actual file if you possibly can do that. So again, it's Wednesday, August 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern. FantasyFootballToday@CBSi.com and put Podcast League in the subject line. And I just gave myself a lot of work. Okay, news and notes. Just tell me how concerned you are if you're moving them down in your rankings or anything. Odell Beckham has a minor hip issue.
Not yet.
No.
Amari Cooper has a ligament issue in his foot. He's unlikely to play in the preseason.
Not yet.
Mm-mm.
Really? Okay. Kenyon Drake going to miss the rest of the preseason with a foot injury. Most likely.
I've dropped him to running back 27 in PPR. I think running back 30 in non-PPR, still ahead of Ballage for me in both formats.
I'm a little bit lower on both in both formats for Drake. I think in non-PPR, they're like 2 or 3 spots apart, Drake and Ballage. It's just, it sucks.
Right, but it, you know, this is kind of what I was talking about with Andrew Luck, right? I mean, could this actually be a good thing for Kenyon Drake if you want him on draft day? Maybe he misses a game or two. Maybe he doesn't miss any games. But he should be the starter when he comes back. You'd think he would get more work than Ballage. You know, would you rather take Kenyon Drake? Go ahead.
There's no indication that that's going to happen, though. You're right in theory that he's going to get more work than Ballage.
You don't think so?
In theory, yes. But I would have said that last year, too, that he was going to get more work than Frank Gore.
Okay, so would you take Miles Sanders or Kenyon Drake?
Sanders.
Drake still.
Okay. Tony
Drake
Romo.
Drake and PPR.
Tony Romo is high on Sam Darnold. Again, we might be sleeping on Sam Darnold. I understand you don't really have to draft him. There are so many good quarterbacks, but a 2-quarterback league, you know.
I moved him up. He's in my top 20 now.
All right. The Eagles like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, wide receiver, rookie wide receiver, could be a factor this year, according to Yahoo. Okay, great.
It'd be nice to see. You know, I think there's just so many mouths to feed. You know, I think the thing that will help him is maybe Dallas Goedert missing some time. You know, now he gets an opportunity to sort of, you know, get in some more three receiver sets as opposed to the two tight end sets that they run a lot. So, you know, if he's kicking Nelson Agholor off the field and they can do some creative things with, you know, Jeffrey and Jackson and Whiteside, Arcega-Whiteside, it would be fun to see. But I can't see him being a significant redraft factor, you know, if everybody stays healthy.
It's great for wins. It's awful for fantasy football.
it's another downgrade for Jeffrey.
Frank Reich wants to make a decision on a week one starting quarterback by the end of the third preseason game. So we have a little bit of time.
Just that sentence alone is terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not that you said luck. You said week one starting quarterback. You know, it's how could you draft Luck as a starter right now?
Because you can draft a second quarterback who's still good enough to be a starter while
then
having an upside.
It's just hurting your roster, though.
But not if it's around 10. You know,
yeah, I mostly agree with you, Adam. I there's no floor at all, but the upside is that he's the number two quarterback in fantasy. And I don't think anything's happened that's changed that upside. So
a recurrence of the injury, maybe.
Well,
that they haven't diagnosed.
Like he might not play. That's the floor, though. That's not the upside. If he plays 16 games, he still might be the number two quarterback in fantasy. I'm not taking him near as high as where we were. You don't have to. He's available in the double digit rounds now, and you should take it.
Jimmy Garoppolo, are we still going to take him? He threw five straight interceptions in practice.
Against the team last year that led the league in fewest interceptions. I wouldn't worry about that.
He's boosting
their
confidence.
Yeah, I think there was some player on Twitter saying interception in practice are actually a good thing because
yes.
It means you're trying something different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they start off their season with the Buccaneers and the Bengals. That might be the perfect guy to pair with Andrew Luck.
There you go. George Kittle day-to-day with calf tightness. Maybe that's why Garoppolo threw all those interceptions.
I spoke to him 2 days ago. He said he's fine. Okay. You know, I'm sure he wasn't going to tell me that his, you know, calf is broken, but you know, he did say I'm fine.
New England rookie running back Damian Harris has a minor hand injury, which might be, you know, why we've gotten glowing reports on Sony Michel, but Harris is a little bit behind right now. Joe Fan of NBC Sports thinks that Chris Carson will get at least 2/3 of the running back work. You know, a lot of good press on Carson lately. So,
if that's true, he's a top 12 running back.
I keep moving him up. You know, it's funny. I'm going to do my last version of sleepers, breakouts, and busts, and he was a bust for me all offseason just because I thought he wasn't going to be healthy and Rashad Penny more work. And the beginning of that column is going to be my apology to Chris Carson.
Matt Nagy says Mitchell Trubisky is recognizing defenses better than he did last year. And when would you draft Melvin Gordon, guys, real quick?
Same. Around the early fourth.
Yeah.
When would you draft Ezekiel Elliott?
Still first round.
Fourth.
When in the first round, Jamie?
Fourth.
Fourth? Okay.
Yep. Going to start to slide, though.
I wanted to give these numbers. I looked at the elite running backs, which actually didn't really include Zeke last year because the touchdowns were low, but on a per-game basis, you know, other than Gurley. Gurley was a lot better than everybody, but you know who we're talking about. Gordon, Barkley, Kamara, McCaffrey. They averaged in non-PPR about 3.5 to 4.5 more points per game than Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins. In half PPR, those guys were about 3 points better than Adams and Hopkins. In PPR, those elite running backs, other than Gurley, were about 1.5 to 2.5 points better per game than Hopkins and Adams. It does not mean that it will happen again, but if you're sitting there going, well, is Hopkins really a big downgrade from Zeke? Potentially, yeah. Not because Hopkins isn't great, but because he's not going to have 2,000 total yards. And, you know, and Zeke probably will come close to that. And I teased it on yesterday's show, the TV show that everybody loves that I absolutely hate. I watched the pilot episode. It was, I think, my second least favorite episode of a show ever. I'm not joking. Was Euphoria. So you can hate me for that. But I really hated everything about it. It was uncomfortable.
Never seen it.
It was just awful. You probably want to go see it now because I said all this.
I mean, it sounds like it's probably a pretty good show.
Everybody loves it. So, you know, people, best show on TV. I thought it was, I couldn't believe it. All right. I'm going to be on CBS Sports HQ today with these guys on Fantasy Football Today at noon Eastern to talk about the worst team I've ever drafted. If you want some gambling advice and you want a dollar for your first month, go to sportsline.com. Fantasy advice on there too. The promo code is HUDDLE on sportsline.com. Promo code HUDDLE for a dollar for your first month. After that, it's $9.99. We're getting a lot of auction questions lately. So next week, we're going to do a format episode. 10 teams, 12 teams, 14 teams, three receiver, two receiver, PPR, half PPR, whatever. Auctions, format episode. And make sure you're signing up on CBS with the Commissioner product. It is the best place to play. If you're a diehard fantasy fan, you've got to be playing on CBS. Customizable scoring, advanced stats, schedule flexibility, great for Dynasty. The app has gotten a lot better. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to sign up right now. What do we got here? Let's do some fantasy combos. Ready? Who would you rather have? Hopkins and Dalvin Cook or David Johnson and Mike Evans?
Hopkins and Cook.
Man, I forgot how much I absolutely love this segment. It's just so much fun.
You don't like it? What's wrong with it?
Yeah, I'll go with Hopkins and Cook.
What's wrong with fantasy combos?
I don't, nothing at all. I just said I loved it. What are you talking about?
I think it's great. Okay, which combo would you rather have? Travis Kelce and Josh Jacobs or Nick Chubb and George Kittle?
Chubb and Kittle.
Chubb and Kittle. I don't think it's close.
No.
Right, I mean...
That was a really bad one.
No, but it's ADP. I'm not just making it up. It's based on average draft.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying it's not close.
Oh, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at Heath. Don't worry about it. Oh, now I'm choking. Karma. All right.
Pete Prisco. There you go.
Thank you. I'll Pete Prisco in a second. Half PPR. Would you rather have the Seahawks running backs, Carson in the fourth and Penny in the seventh, or David Montgomery in the third and Tariq Cohen in the sixth? A little earlier investment on the Bears or a slightly later investment in the Seahawks?
The Seahawks.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks, you get the best player on the Seahawks. I would rather have Cohen than Penny, but I'll take the Seahawks.
Would you rather have Montgomery or Carson?
And also, Carson. Like you just said last combo that I said was terrible, I'm not choosing these. This is where these guys are being taken. And then you give us one where both players are a full round apart.
What do you mean?
This is not comparable.
Because Montgomery's late third round and Carson's early fourth round.
Okay.
Who would you rather have between those two, jerk?
Carson and the Seahawks.
No. Between just Carson versus Montgomery.
Carson. Easily.
All right. We're taking a break. We got a lot of breakouts to talk about, plus your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Email of the day, number one, is from Russell J. Crotty. Dear James McGregor and Sean Blanky. I have no idea. Connor. Connors. They're Connors. That's right. James Connor, Connor McGregor, and Sean Connery. Just hosted an epic live draft weekend, and I wanted to share a clever live draft idea that was a big hit with my league mates. I had each league mate send me 5 songs to add to a shared playlist for the weekend, but their number one song was used as their walk-up music for the draft. This was an awesome feeling to hear your song and get amped for your pick, as well as a way to keep things moving if their song ended and they hadn't made their pick, we'd heckle them. Kept it growing through the first 4 rounds and then switched to the full playlist. Everyone loved it, so I thought I'd share this nice live draft touch. I would love to hear what each of you guys would pick for your walk-up song.
This is an outstanding idea.
Yeah.
I love it. I have 3 different answers.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, Heath. I chose for you, if you don't mind.
Right. I understand, but I thought I was supposed to answer the question.
Coming up now to draft. Pick it in the 4 spot. Here he is, country fan. Heath Cummings. How you feeling, Heath? Who are you going to take?
This song is one of the worst songs ever made. and it makes me very angry. My actual answer was going to be, if I was drafting with you, Adam, it would be the one that you've given me, the Heath is on.
Yeah, of course.
If I was drafting with these guys, I'd probably pick Stairway to Heaven because you get longer to pick than everyone else.
That's good. I like that.
So I think those are the best answers.
All right, Jamie, I have your walk-up music too. Listeners alerted me to this random Weezer song called Jamie. There you go, Jamie. You can pick now.
I like it.
Would you have music, walk-up music in mind or no?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so. That's not Jamie's style. I think you should go with the Last Boy Scout theme song. Yeah. All right. Anyway, this is what I would choose. Email of the day number two is from Dan from a city on Lake Michigan. Dear Mike, Teddy, Willie, and Dante, those are Patriots linebackers, you've talked a lot about strategy for early picks and later picks in the first three rounds. Consensus seems to be that early picks go heavy on running back and late picks go heavy on wide receivers. But what about picks 6 through 8? What do you do in the middle of the draft? Yeah, we probably don't talk about that quite as much, guys. What would your strategy be for a middle pick?
I think in PPR, it's still receivers. You know, you just looking at the group of backs, you know, and if you want to, you know, lump all these guys together, but David Johnson, James Conner, Joe Mixon, Le'Veon Bell, you know, maybe Todd Gurley now. The other guys we talked about are Fournette Cook and Kerryon Johnson. You know, it's just you're getting the opportunity to take one of Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, Michael Thomas, depending on, you know, format again. There's a little bit more of a safety factor with them. And like you were saying, Adam, they may not have the same upside as those top four running backs, but they probably have a little bit similar upside to Johnson, Connor, and that group, just with the chance of the health when you factor that in the offenses that those receivers tend to play in.
Yeah, I mean, I do think in this spot, you're going to have to let the draft come to you just a little bit more than the other two. It's a little more obvious at the front and the back, but I'm mostly probably going to do exactly what Jamie said. Yesterday in our 2QB draft, I think I started Julio, Evans, Kittle, Cooks from the number 8 spot and absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I mean, round 2 is sort of, you have your usual choice of a lot of the similar players that are going, well, obviously at the back end of round 1. You know, so that the middle of round 2 is kind of, do you want to reach for, and I say that generously, reach for Mike Evans or Keenan Allen if you're going to go receiver, or do you want to take receiver running back? That seems to probably be the most logical route, unless Kelsey falls, which is ADP suggests that he does in the middle of round 2. If you're looking at that group of backs that we've just been, you know, finished talking through, you know, mm-hmm. Cook, Fournette, Kerryon Johnson, those guys will be available to you. The two tight ends, most likely outside of Kelsey, will be available to you, you know, especially if you're picking 5 or 6. You know, it's mm-hmm. just a matter of how you want to, you know, sort of start to build your team. And you know, adding to your point about, you know, Cooper being hurt and Hilton, you know, being a little bit downgraded because of Luck and those guys, if you don't want to have to risk, you know, the receivers that are available to you in round 3 and maybe not liking those guys, where the running backs are going to be, you know, Devontae Freeman and now Chris Carson and Josh Jacobs, that group, if you feel more comfortable with that, you do take Mike Evans or Keenan Allen and sort of just not even worry about it, because you have potentially a top 5 wide receiver that you're getting for top 8 value or top 10 value.
The two players that come to mind if I'm drafting it with, you know, picks 5 through 8 that would make me feel better about my draft if they were available to me in round 2 and round 4 would be Travis Kelce, who in our drafts, when we play on CBS with these guys, with Dave, he's never available middle of round 2. He goes early round 2.
Yeah, but Dave takes him in round 1 when he picks at the back end.
But ADP suggests that he has a good chance of being there in the middle of round 2. So I would love to take him there after the top 7 wide receivers are off the board. And for me, Mark Ingram in round 4, somebody of Jacobs, Ingram, Carson, Montgomery. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about Montgomery yet, but one of those guys, if they're there as a number 2 running back, I'd feel really good. After that, and then you start talking about Patriots guys, Philip Lindsay, Tevin Coleman, who's probably going to be a riser. You know, you might be at the end of a tier there. If those guys happen to fall to you with your 2nd pick, with your 4th pick, for me personally, I'd feel a lot better about the team. But I don't love picking in the middle. I'd rather pick closer to the ends, personally. But, you know, it's no science to it. You can make a great team anywhere. Okay, let's talk about some breakouts here. Thank you for the emails. And I'll try to read some more a little bit later at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Okay, Jamie, we'll start with your breakouts. You already talked about Kerryon Johnson. We've talked about Leonard Fournette. So let's talk about a wide receiver quarterback combo here. Jameis Winston, QB 13 right now in ADP. And Chris Godwin, who's going 44th overall, someone you could be looking at in the middle of round four, hopefully later round four. Yeah, you love those Bucks. So let's talk about it. Go ahead.
We've talked a lot about Chris Godwin. I just think that this is the year he puts it all together, his third year in the league. He's been sort of building toward this. All the targets that are available with Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson gone. You know, he's had a phenomenal camp so far, you know, scored the touchdown in the preseason game. I think it's only going to continue to, you know, build momentum for him. And then Jameis, I think, is going to be a quarterback riser. I do think that you're going to start to see him, you know, not necessarily be reflected in average draft position, but I would not be surprised if he gets picked over Andrew Luck. Are you there yet, Heath?
I'll put him ahead of Luck, yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a, for me, it's an easy one right now. It wasn't before, but I think Jameis has the opportunity to be among the league leaders in pass attempts. I think he's going to, you know, have a high volume going into the season. And, you know, if he could limit the turnovers, that's going to be a problem for him. But I do think that he's going to have his best year to date. I like what I saw in the first preseason game on that drive. I think, you know, he's going to thrive with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich in his ear, you know, especially with Arians and his philosophy of allowing him to make some mistakes and still be successful. So one thing just real quick on Tampa Bay is, you know, we don't, I think, talk about Mike Evans enough in the fact that there's all these targets available. And while Evans himself has said he thinks Chris Godwin's going to be 1 and 1A with him, Evans may be the one guy that's being drafted outside of the top five receivers that has a chance to make that leap to being number one.
Yeah,
because if those targets, but I don't think we talk about enough.
Sure.
You know, if those targets go his direction, you know, because look, I mean, you know, I think everybody kind of, you know, we tend to, you know, sometimes we harp on the top of the draft a little too much, and sometimes we just, you know, gloss over it. Evans in round two could just be an absolute steal. And so I just think this Tampa Bay offense is poised to be very, very fun, very explosive. The defense is probably going to struggle, so they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. The run game, as we know, is non-existent, at least right now. And so I think there's just a lot to like about this entire passing game, and that's why Jameis, I think, has a chance to thrive. It's not like last year where if he struggled, there was a guy that the coaching staff trusts. Now, they may trust Blaine Gabbert. I don't know. I don't know if I would trust Blaine Gabbert, but I think Jameis is in line to really take that next step forward. And, you know, it's funny because they're going to be tied together their entire careers, Jameis and Mariota, until one separates. Obviously, there's a big difference fantasy-wise, but Mariota's got a guy he's got to look over his shoulder and worry about in Ryan Tannehill. Jameis doesn't have that right now, and I think this is going to allow him the freedom to play like I think we've hoped to see him play over the last couple seasons.
Okay. So Jameis, he made 9 starts. His 16-game pace based on those 9 starts was 4,700 yards, 28 touchdowns, 20 interceptions, plus 76 carries for 459 and 2. He ran the ball a little bit more last year. Those fantasy points, because of the interceptions, he would have been 12th in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues, 13th in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues. That's really not so bad for Jameis Winston. Okay, Godwin, I'm going to give you Godwin or Galladay. I think I gave that yesterday, but since Galladay is a breakout for Heath, who would you guys rather have, Godwin or Galladay?
Galladay.
I like Godwin better.
Okay, they're going to go similarly. Curtis Samuel. You know, Curtis Samuel's obviously a breakout for you. We've talked about him. He was one of only 2 wide receivers last year with 2 rushing touchdowns. Do you know who the other one was?
No.
He was, I'll give you a hint, he was wide receiver eligible, but not necessarily a wide receiver. Isaiah McKenzie. Mm. The Bills. So actually, DJ Moore had the second most rushing yards of any wide receiver, and Curtis Samuel was one of only 2 receivers with 2 rushing touchdowns. But Samuel, you know, Jamie, in our Facebook group, on Fantasy Football Today, the Facebook group, somebody made a pretty good comparison about, I said, I can't remember the last time somebody got this much preseason hype. One of our, here he is, Robert Thomas. I feel like the 2019 Curtis Samuel hype and rise in ADP is equal to the 2018 Marquise Goodwin hype and rise. And I thought that was a pretty good comparison. But don't call Goodwin a failure. He didn't really get a chance to show it because he got hurt in week one and Garoppolo got hurt in week three. But I did think that was an interesting comparison.
Yeah, and Godwin had all those off the field situations with his family. So
Goodwin, right?
What did I say? Godwin.
Yeah, you said Godwin.
Goodwin, yes. I guess yeah, you could make a comparison to that, but I don't think he was getting the hype from the media his city. Like Goodwin was getting hyped up by the fantasy community.
Yeah, I just thought it was
but the similarities are there. You know, strong finish the year before, you know, and the hope that it would carry over to the following season, and it didn't.
And Jamie gave me one more breakout when I asked him via email, and he just said Hunter. So is that Torrey Hunter? 5-time All-Star. Breakout season.
He was great. He was great. I think he played fantasy football, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry's got a shot, I think, to, you know, it's funny. He's going to go as the sixth guy of the top six tight ends. And you know, we obviously focus on the top three and the other two guys in Ingram and Howard. And Henry is like, you know, you just kind of, okay, I'll take Henry if he's there. He's got a shot to, you know, maybe be better than Ingram, be better than O.J. Howard and challenge the other two guys if there's a step back for either Ertz or the other three guys, if there's a step back for any of those three. So, you know, there's 110 targets available with Tyrell Williams and Antonio Gates gone. You know what Rivers to Gates has been for years. So the touchdowns, I think, are the thing that could certainly help Hunter Henry. But if he can, you know, you see the projections here. If you're watching on the show, it's 57, 7, 37, and 5. I would take the over on that.
Yeah, figuring out how you feel about Hunter Henry could really shape your draft. If you're comfortable with him at tight end, you know, you can wait an extra round and not take Ingram and Howard. And, you know, if you're not, then you might feel a little bit more compelled to take one of the top five. Heath, how do you feel about Hunter Henry?
Oh, I like him a lot, and I think you could make a case for him over at least one of my breakouts at tight end. I thought he looked pretty good in his first preseason game. The Chargers, there's been a lot of buzz there. I think it's difficult to like Hunter Henry as a breakout and Mike Williams as a breakout, and I'm more on the Hunter Henry as a breakout than Williams.
I totally agree with you. I think that's where Mike Williams loses. If he doesn't gain in the catches and the yards, the clear loss for him is the touchdowns with Henry taking not all of it, obviously, but you know, if you were to say who's going to score 5 touchdowns, who's going to score 10 of the two guys, I would sign up for Henry more so than I would for Williams.
All right, guys, one last break on fantasy football today. Heath's breakouts, listener emails right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, the Heath is on. All right, who are your breakouts, Heath? Who are some that you want to talk about?
I did put Lamar Jackson in here partially because I was kind of saying that I didn't have another quarterback breakout because Jamie took Jameis Winston.
Wentz!
I agree with him. I don't really view Wentz as a breakout just because Wentz did it before. He just got hurt in the middle of that breakout season. But he did he was a top 5 quarterback. I've got him ranked 4th. I think I'm the highest on him in the rankings right now. I think he's going to be very good. But I'll go with Jackson just because a lot of times we distinguish between sleeper and breakout and say, well, yeah, he's a sleeper because he's being drafted so late. He's a breakout if he has top 5 upside. I do think Lamar Jackson is both. I have him projected, I think, pretty cautiously with just 159 rush attempts, with only throwing 21 touchdown passes and 3,300 passing yards. And even with that, he's creeping into my top 12, top 10 quarterbacks in 6-point per pass touchdown leagues. He's a borderline top 5 guy in 4-point per pass touchdown leagues. Loved what I saw in the first preseason game. Love what they've done with this offense for him. I think Miles Boykin and hopefully Marquise Brown gets on the field and help too. I think those receivers will definitely help. Mostly it's just his development. If he becomes an average NFL quarterback in terms of passing ability, then he is going to be a fantasy superstar.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I can't do with Jackson, unless I'm in a league where, you know, only 15, 16 quarterbacks are drafted, I don't think I could draft him as my only quarterback. I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable with that.
I just have a really hard, and it's possible. Maybe they beat these teams so badly that they don't have to pass and they don't run Jackson. But they start off with the Dolphins, the Arizona Cardinals, the Kansas City Chiefs. I find it really hard to imagine Lamar Jackson's going to be bad in those three games.
I hope not. If he is, sound the alarm. All right, Dalvin Cook, we discussed. Let's talk about DJ Moore, because you have him as a breakout, and his last seven games, he was on pace for 73 catches, 1,077 yards, only two touchdowns, but 117 targets. He certainly showed up late in the season. DJ Moore.
Yes, and I did a little Twitter thread on this yesterday at Heath Cummings SR, if you want to go read it, talking about Moore and Samuel, and I'm not trying to stand in the way of a Curtis Samuel breakout, except for the fact that I've started to see a few people on Twitter saying Samuel over Moore, and I've heard of a few drafts where Samuel is going before Moore, and I just think it's important to look at what they actually did last year. Yes, Curtis Samuel scored seven touchdowns to DJ Moore's two. Let's get rid of that for just a second. Moore was a 21-year-old rookie who averaged 9.6 yards per target on 82 targets. There have been three 21-year-old rookies ever to average better than 9 yards per target on 80 targets. The three are DJ Moore, Randy Moss, and Keenan Allen. Juju almost did it. He had 79 targets. We can throw Juju in there as well. He was better than Samuel on a per-target basis, a per-reception basis, a per-game basis, and he was a rookie. So I still think while Samuel definitely is a value at his current ADP as it creeps up, Moore is the one that we could be looking at as a top 12 wide receiver moving into next year.
And I don't disagree with Heath. I don't know if he'll be a top 12 guy, but I don't disagree that he should be taken ahead of Curtis Samuel. As much as I like Curtis Samuel and have, I've consistently had DJ Moore ranked ahead of him. So I don't want to be the one that's, you know, saying take Curtis Samuel over DJ Moore, and I'll stay consistent. I think if you'd say who has the higher ceiling, it's DJ Moore. That doesn't mean that Samuel can't be better than him by the end of the year based on circumstances. But I still think that if you're looking at it, who should you be taking first? It's DJ Moore. Now, the problem is that the gap between them is ridiculous. The gap depends on which draft you're in.
Yeah.
The gap should be a lot closer between those two guys.
In our drafts, it's now down to like a half a round.
And Heath, you have two tight ends on your breakout list. They are OJ Howard and Evan Ingram. And who do you prefer?
I prefer Ingram just because, but I don't want to sell OJ Howard short. He's better than Evan Ingram. The difference is currently I've got Ingram projected for about 110 targets. I've got Howard closer to 80. If you give OJ Howard 90 targets, which is still a pretty low total, he is the easy number four tight end. If he gets 100, he's creeping into the top three in his career efficiency. So both of these guys have a chance. We could very easily next year be talking about tight end, and instead of saying big three, we're saying big six. Howard, Ingram, and Henry could all join that group.
I think we should be saying it now.
Yeah, I had a fear about Evan Ingram that I think has sort of gone away. Just Daniel Jones looked great, and I'm not saying he will be great, but if he takes over for Eli Manning, I don't think he'll be completely terrible. So that, and I think he will at some point take over for Eli Manning. But also, like there's got to be a bump for Ingram, even though it's only four games. It's not going to help you in the playoffs. Just overall season statistics, without Golden Tate, those first four games, like he could just be a beast. His 16-game pace in the games he's played without Odell Beckham in his career, 77 catches, 962 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's really good. That only would have been tight end 5 last year, but it would have been top 2 in 2016, number 3 in 2017. And he's only getting better, you know? He's coming into his own. So no Tate for four games is great. The fact that Daniel Jones looks like he could be a good quarterback, not necessarily this year, but he won't be terrible, has really kind of taken some of my fears away for Ingram. So did I ask who you said you like Ingram more because you think he'll get more targets? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Listener breakouts. Spencer says, I'm calling for a re-breakout for Allen Robinson, top 15 receiver.
I don't hate it.
I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised too. I kind of hate it. Sorry.
I don't want to make the argument, but do you want me to make the argument for him?
Yeah, actually, because I find it hard to make an argument for any Bears pass catcher based on last year. They just spread the ball around so much.
That's absolutely true. But it's also true that Robinson had a 2 or 3 week absence. He had the week that he got hurt, which he only had 4 receiving yards. So really, you're looking at a 12-game season where he caught 55 passes for 754 yards. That's not too far from a 1,000-yard pace. I wouldn't be all that surprised if he catches 75 passes this year for 1,050 yards. And then it just comes down to, does he score 6 touchdowns or 8? That could be the difference between him being a top 15 wide receiver.
Okay. David Lee, one of our Twitter followers, former Nick, but not really, says Mike Williams is a breakout this year. Mike Williams, I think you guys favor Hunter Henry in that regard.
Nope.
Yeah, it's just it's hard to expect him to, you know, replicate that type. I think he's a fine number 3 receiver because I think he can still score 7 touchdowns. But the catches and the yards really have to come up.
5 games of more than 4 targets.
I take him over Allen Robinson.
5 games of more than 4 targets for Mike Williams. He averaged 19.2 fantasy points per game in PPR, which is unbelievable. And he's kind of an X factor because I don't know that we know how good he is yet. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
We
do agree.
Tyler says, just talk about Zay Jones for 5 minutes.
That's way too many minutes to talk about Zay Jones.
5 seconds.
I think he's the number 3 wide receiver in Buffalo.
That suffices.
So
D says Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones. That's a good call. I mean, could certainly happen.
We can talk about that tomorrow with Ben.
Okay. Well, tomorrow's a bus show. I don't think Ben's gonna bring up Ronald Jones.
Like I said.
George Criticos, who's you know, a friend of ours on Dynasty League Football, says Tom Brady. Have a feeling he finally lives up to the hype. Yeah, Dynasty League, you got 4 more years of Tom Brady or something like that. So, Mike says Marlon Mack is a breakout. Does Marlon Mack have top 5 potential?
Yes.
I have a hard time seeing it unless his role in the passing game really expands.
All right, and let's read some. I'll do a couple more. Joe says Nick Chubb as a breakout. I love Nick Chubb. But we'll see what happens. First 8 games is going to be a breakout. And Sony Michel will be a monster from BP. Sony Michel will be a monster, all caps.
He stays healthy. Could happen.
I do like that one just because, like, it's a Patriots running back, and who knows? It might happen. I'm not betting on it.
All right, time for some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We got a few minutes for these. This is from Brandon in New York. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Oh, speaking of callers, call into our radio show Saturday night, Ion Fantasy Football, 10 p.m. Eastern, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius Channel 206, cbsportsradio.com. Okay, I have Hopkins, Michael Thomas, and Keenan Allen, but my RB1 is Tariq Cohen in PPR, so he needs to upgrade. I was just offered this trade, my Michael Thomas and Tariq Cohen for Leonard Fournette and Devin Singletary. Would you do it?
No.
Better. You need to do better than that. Sorry. All right. This is from John. Dear Reggie, Mark, Chris, and Jose. Oh, I know this one. Chris with a K.
Those are athletics.
Yeah, like sluggers. Jackson, McGuire, Chris Davis, and Jose Canseco. I'm having my first dynasty draft after more than 25 years of playing fantasy football. I am picking 12th in a startup dynasty league. How do I go about deciding between experience and youth? 20 roster spots.
I mean, that's, I think the key factor is if, like, you're looking at Juju versus Julio. Not that that's going to probably fall to you at 12, but you would take Juju over Julio, you know, whereas in most redraft leagues, you're obviously taking Julio Jones. And I'd say probably Michael Thomas too.
Yeah, my plan is to win this year. I'm not going to ignore age, but it's more of a tiebreaker.
Okay, thank you. Good stuff. This is Raul from the home of Big Blue. Go Giants. 12-team PPR league. I have the 4th pick. Should I take, if Zeke has not reported, should I take someone else? Should I take David Johnson, Hopkins, Adams? What would you do at the 4th pick? At the fourth pick.
Raul, it would have been extremely helpful if you would have given us your draft date in this email, and I would feel much more comfortable giving you an answer. If you are drafting today, then I would say, yeah, you should still take Zeke if he's not reported. If you're drafting on the 24th, then probably not. If you're drafting on the 31st, definitely not.
Who would you take?
Yeah, I mean, if you're concerned, take one of the receivers. Take Adams or Hopkins.
Yeah. By the way, recent ADP showing David Johnson is going ahead of Hopkins. I don't know about PPR, but half PPR and non-PPR. David Johnson on football calculator, fifth. Matthew in Durham, first time emailer. I have the number one pick. For several weeks, I thought I'd take at least one receiver at the 24-25 turn, but now A.J. Green, Amari Cooper, Antonio Brown, all hurt. Keenan Allen and T.Y. Hilton are probably gone, according to him. Would you reach for Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen, or would you go elsewhere at 24 and 25?
So who's off the table?
He's assuming T.Y. Hilton and Keenan Allen are gone, and he didn't say Mike Evans, but Mike Evans. So if those guys are gone, what do you do with the swing picks in rounds 2 and 3?
You could take one of the tight ends if they're available, Ertz or Kittle. You can still go those running backs we talked about with Fournette or Kerryon Johnson.
What would you do, Jamie? Let's say you have Saquon Barkley, and then your next two picks are going to be who?
With those players not being available to me?
Yeah.
I would probably take one of Kerryon Johnson or Leonard Fournette and Zach Ertz.
Yep.
Okay. Would you rule out Edelman if it's full PPR?
I probably would take those other two players over Edelman.
Yeah.
All right. You got some good options there. And final question here. A guy from Nevada, let's call him Jim. How do you feel about drafting Odell Beckham and Nick Chubb on the same team, half point PPR? I did this yesterday. And I loved it. I loved it. I had the
on the worst team you ever drafted.
It was the worst team I ever drafted, but not because of them, because of the mistake.
Yeah, why do you think I was looking at this. Why do you think it's the worst team you ever drafted? I've seen you draft a lot worse.
I hope that's not true. It was so bad. I'll talk about it on CBS Sports HQ. Tune in for that. I got to thank Heath and Jamie and all our listeners.
You did the double Browns swing picks. I did the double Steelers.
Very good. Yeah, I got no problem with it. Good offenses, good players. Sounds good to me. All right, we're out of here. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. Na, 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 na.